Hey, what are you listening to?
Oh, you didn't get that?
Get what?
Themnutspodcast.com.
Welcome to Them Nuts Podcast Show, hosted by comedians Darius Campbell, Ray Chung, and Matt Cole. Also, Bucky, the executive producer, and the producer, Luis Gomez. You can check us out on all your social media networks.
That's fine. I don't need to record these things, man.
I need 5 minutes.
Nobody's camera ready.
Yeah, right? No, I'm not.
You got mascara on. We got you right
here. Yeah, I didn't do nothing for my knees, man. I didn't do no makeup for the knees. You can't.
You get some lotion. Go get
some right?
Lotion.
You can't put a brother on the air with ashy knees, man.
Hey.
Relax. Because my wife put this picture of us. We're in Vegas in our aunt's house, and I'm helping the kid out, so I'm on the ground, you know, doing something on the ground. And then we all sitting there taking a family picture. And my wife's, oh, her setting's so great with my aunt's house. And take this picture, then I get to the hotel, and I look at this picture. Knees just as white as powder, dog. Because I was on my knees, just ashy like a motherfucker.
Yeah, no.
And I'm like, really? Really?
Bill Burr's got the best bit about that. Because, you guys know about ash, you guys know about lotion.
Okay.
I didn't know about that shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There's like a day in school we all miss some sort of information. And if we come together as a community, we can help each other out. Like, I love his bit. He goes, like, you guys let us know with the lotion. We let you know to register your weapons.
Yeah, gotta keep the baby.
Everything's
warm,
good. Everything's good. Warm. I mean, I appreciate you coming out.
No, thanks for having us, you know, the next day. It's cool.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good, man. It's all good, man. I told my kids we'll be going to church today because fuck my schedule up. My schedule up, kids. It's okay.
Up, man. You got me. You got me on the Lord's bad side. I can't be.
No, the Lord's good.
The
Lord knew what time you were coming before I did.
I left yesterday.
I know. And you on the Mayflower. And now today you on the.
No, but we were talking about how, like, you know, it's like one of those Compton cul-de-sacs where you drive in, you can't get out.
This street cut off
and then it pick up two blocks in another direction.
Hold on. Let's get this shit real. Right. What time did you guys really leave?
It was 6. When I texted her, you were going.
What fucking exit did you get off on?
Exit
Pico Rivera.
Everything was passed after the traffic. Everything was good until we start driving around the streets. Then it was like,
what streets were you driving?
Man, we're trying to find Combs, right?
Yeah.
Combs?
Yeah.
Puffy? Were you looking for Puffy? Puffy ain't here.
We did that joke twice, too.
We did that.
You see how they let that shit slide down? Yeah, they're like, I ain't gonna say that shit. That's all you.
I wasn't here for that. Like CC Ty, I wasn't here for that one. My bad.
Yeah, no, so you guys are here, though, man. I appreciate you coming out, man.
Thank you guys for having us, man. This is awesome.
Oh, I got to go now. We're already late. We already scheduled this much time.
Is it a curfew out here?
Yeah, there's a Negro curfew.
I didn't see no cops. I got scared.
Yeah, no, there's no cops. And the cops hide in the bushes out here, bro.
Oh, yeah, no, I can see that.
They hide in
the
bushes.
It was too quiet.
We were like, yo, man, Saturday night.
You got to take your beanie off, dude. You got to take that beanie off later.
Well, I did until we got to the street. Once I hit the, I went boom, and then I go, oh, we on the street. Now we good. But, yeah, I took it off.
Yeah,
you don't want no profiling.
Be careful. Exactly.
No, you don't have to profile out here, man. I can run the streets at night here.
Yeah, I just want to let everybody know, this is Them Nuts First. We actually have 3.5 black guys in the room for once. We didn't even need a permit.
Stand up.
Wait, where's the half?
And Bucky points at Darius.
Which is probably true. I've been in the OC for a little too long.
Shit, you escaped. That's the north to me.
Yeah, that is. It feels good, you know, because I'm down the street, man. Like I said, because then we bring in the KKK right behind me. All right. I'm like, maybe yourself?
It's our friendly neighbor.
Well, yeah.
This is the racial sensitivity meeting.
Yeah. So it's good, man. Everything's good, man.
Everything's good, man. Honestly, it's like I was telling him, and it's so cool, like, that you guys invited me out, invited us out.
And who you brought with you, man?
This is Raul D. Lewis. I know y'all, like, I mean, I know he hates the cool runnings thing, but This is the man.
Cool Runnings things? What's going on?
Oh, they don't know. Okay, we'll leave it at that. All right, so now we leave it at that.
Wait.
But stand-up comedian extraordinaire, headline of Ventura Comedy Clubs,
yes,
all around the country, many TV shows, great writer,
cool
director.
Just bringing out my VHS.
Oh, snap. I'm going to check this shit out later, dude. Oh, that was my That was a good movie.
That was my favorite.
Yeah.
You got to work with John Candy?
I just came to hang with him.
Now you done took all the focus out of you.
I don't mind.
Also about this episode, we're not going to feature you. We'll be all about him.
No,
that's not. Cool Runnings guy on the podcast.
No. See, this is a black thing. He's directing our focus to him. He's casing the house right now.
Yeah.
Put your hood back on.
You know it. I mean.
By the way, we've all jerked off to that picture. You can take it with you. The glamour shots.
Who is that?
That's a fucking
mother.
That's
Okay. No, I mean, he said it.
No, I'm thinking
like maybe I should know who it is. Because...
No, she's rest in peace.
Okay.
Yeah, so all right. We're going to respect that.
Okay.
Respect
No. Totally. Yeah. Totally. Absolutely.
Matt's always killing.
I know. Absolutely.
Matt talks about my father all the time, and he's a.
Yeah.
That's a
security camera.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you start seeing Bucky following you. Bucky profiling you only. Like, whoa.
Well, I grew up in Watts, man. Cameras don't mean jack.
You know,
man, as a matter of fact, I will smile for the camera as I'm taking shit out.
Yeah,
right?
Gotcha.
Yeah, you just pull that cap off.
And they all look alike. No, man, it's good. So I heard a couple things going good with you, man.
I'm just hustling, man.
Just hustling.
I'm just trying to find a place and do this thing. Been at it for a minute. You know, still learning, trying to get better. Just, you know, just trying to find my place. I don't expect, you know, to have all the lofty stuff of some of the predecessors. I'm just trying to fit in.
Yeah.
Like Too Short said, get in where I fit in.
Yeah.
And I'm cool. I'm cool. That's
managing
it.
Managing expectations, man.
Yeah.
This thing.
Yeah, no, because real life never stopped.
No, at all. It's going to keep moving.
You know how it is. Like, you get off stage sometime, you're on this high. And then you get home.
That top ramen don't feel good at all.
For real. Yeah.
No one threw my dishes?
Yeah, right?
Man.
You walk through the door and there's some shit staring you in the face like, how does it feel to be real now?
Yeah.
So I'm just, you know, enjoying like the opportunity to just get up and then meet cool people and just, you know, express myself.
So now you're from the California area?
I'm from Watts, man.
Oh, really? It's deeper. You said that and you said.
Deep.
I'm just let you know, if you want to, you sit back and relax, chill. The mic will pick you up, bro. You know, just
okay.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever you feel most comfortable. Yeah, you can. I know the white crowd on that side
of the
tent.
The camera, like, you know, profiled me. I was like,
it's the worst camera in the world. Don't worry.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
If
you're
on the side of it, it's going to distort your entire figure.
Yeah, don't worry. It makes Matt look a little smaller. But okay, he'll be all right. He'll be all right.
But, from Watts, man. From grew up in Jordan Projects. Yeah, man. I'm like straight from, you know, the bricks, as we used to call them.
The bricks?
Yeah, I mean, because they're all made out of brick. It's nothing but brick, concrete, you know, and then they plant a few trees here and there. So,
sounds, I know I'm like the KK member of the group, but I actually had some friends back from that area.
Yeah, no, it's changed.
Oh, you got some good views.
There's a couple of you that some good ones now.
Jesus. Now, there's always, you know.
I'm here to interpret for you. I got you.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You know, and growing up and seeing all the stuff that I, you know, got to see, which I'm sure, like, I mean, everybody's probably heard. I mean, you actually seen it. Stuff firsthand, it made you like, you know, my mom was like, so you, that's your choice, you either do that or you do something else. So I was like, okay, let me find something else, because that don't look like there's a lot of longevity.
What else did you grab onto out there?
Sports first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, boxing, football, track. I went to my mom made it a point to make sure that me and my two brothers, and then our families, her sisters, all the aunts, took all the boys. Once we realized, like, okay, you know, public school was dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people were packing. Teachers are packing because the kids are packing.
Damn.
And so
that was the NRA idea, dude.
Yeah, right? No, it was rough because like people went from fist fighting to just straight up
shooting
people. It wasn't even, you have an argument and dudes draw on you, and it's like, it got to a point to where my brother was like starting to get in the gang thing. My mom was like, yo, she's like, can't live in my house and do that. So you need to make a choice. Yeah. And you know, and she had to be, because for a long time, she was mother, father, sister, older brother, till she remarried. But, you know, she was like, look, I didn't raise you guys.
Was she religious too?
She's from the South. She's from Texas.
How bad did you get your ass beat by this other woman?
That's why I'm like, this Adrian Peterson.
That's
like,
what I wanted to bring up, yeah.
I'm like, yo, man, a switch with a little blood. I'm like, please.
That's it, yeah. No. But but my wife and I had the same argument, too, because she's from Mexico City, which they take some beatings, too. Mm-hmm. And I'm from Louisiana when I was raised at that age. And you're right. You go to school, your friends know you had your ass whooped.
Yeah, you get your ass whooped at school.
The vice president has a paddle. Hey, I was whooped three times in one day by the principal, the teacher, and then went home and got ass whooped.
No,
so us, it's different. And people say, well, we advanced now. We're more at this level. We shouldn't be doing. I say in a sense, yeah, that's right, too, but I'll run a car with my child if he fucks up too hard. Right. You know what I'm saying?
No, for real.
I will. If you get to a point.
I just got to ask this question. You should have played football? What position?
I played receiver.
So you just
going to
let this child domestic?
No, man.
We can deep dive on this shit. Let's go back.
I'm not allowed to have an opinion. I'm still a white guy.
You're right. So it's fucking. Let him finish the story about B&B.
All the positions where you have to run.
Okay.
Run, nigga, run. Go.
He got a flashback.
Which is so true, because I'm going to tell you, once I'm on the field, I'm 8 years old.
Yeah.
We did this drill. You have to run 10 yards, turn around, the ball is going to be in your hand, mm-hmm. and you catch it. All right? If you drop that ball, you run back in line and you get a paddle on the ass and get back in line and do it again. That's how it was in Monroe, Louisiana. That's how they do it.
I was hoping they were doing that shit still in Cyprus.
Well, I was hoping too. You can't even look at a child too hard in Cyprus, man. Nowadays it's so different on the way we discipline kids.
Well, you saying this is a bad thing?
What?
Fucking not beat a kid?
No, you shouldn't. You should beat the shit out of
him. Wait, whoa. You are on the side of fucking beating kids?
Yeah, I'm on the side of throwing a throat at him.
Yeah, my.
How do you think I turned out?
Were you from California as well?
No. I was born in the Caribbean, and we got our ass beat.
Okay. Yeah. I'm from Midwest. I lived in the South for a while. Got my ass beat. Everybody here got our asses beat as kids, right?
Right.
Whether it was Belle.
Wait, hold up.
I'm just saying, like,
you didn't?
There's corporate punishment is what we grew up.
Yeah, I got whoopings, for sure.
Wait, whoopings are different.
Yeah,
whoopings are a whole
ass beating or a whipping.
Yeah,
I fuck, I don't know.
I hope for and like pray for. Like,
yeah, I was hoping I would turn in that report card.
No. See, we never did the switch because our trees were too fucking big. But
no, I did.
We had the belt and a pad on the belt. Was a monster.
I did the reverse psychology shit, right? Like, I knew beating was coming, so I'm like, I grabbed my dad's hand, I beat myself with his own hand. And like, oh, fuck, you fucked me up, right? And the shit like that. And like, but they didn't save anything at all. Like, he's still beating my ass.
That's some Shaolin shit.
Yeah, I know. Like, I thought that would work. I'm like, you know what? I'll do it myself. But that shit did not work at all. Like,
he's like, Tiger hits open, man.
Right?
My motherfucking dad threw a dart at me, man. He got so mad at me, threw a fucking dart at me. And like, it hit me in the Achilles heel, and I acted like I fucking died. Like, it didn't hurt at all and shit. But I was like, oh, motherfucker, I'm gonna call the cops and shit. But like, it didn't hurt at all because it's your fucking Achilles heel. Yeah, it's a bullshit.
I want to meet your dad.
I'm just saying, Greeks are pussies. That shit don't hurt at all, dude. You're saying, yeah. Huh?
Greek or pussies?
Yeah, it's like, are you Greek? I'm sorry, my bad. No. I'm saying it's a joke. Didn't know like a fucking Achilles heel? That's like, if you're going to die by the Achilles heel, you're a pussy. He's a pussy. What's a pussy?
No, but so it's good though.
Yeah.
Like,
No, but I'm saying you can't beat your kids.
No,
like,
you don't
on,
beat
man.
Them nowadays. No, you do it different. We do it different. But we weren't beat.
There's a point.
All you do is make sure when you lay hands on them,
there's soap and towel.
But here's the thing they don't talk about.
Well, hold on.
But here's the thing that
nobody else can find that motherfucker.
Yeah. Right, but here's the thing that they're not talking about with that. I don't know how Adrian Peterson did it, but I know there was a discussion beforehand. There was a discussion during, actually it was one-way talking, like, Your ass, man. And then there was a discussion after.
No, but the kid was four, dude.
It doesn't matter.
Come on, man. What is a four-year-old going to do, man?
Here's the other part of that.
Four-year-old, I already popped my daughter in the mouth by that time.
Unfortunately, probably.
You know this is recorded, right?
Right. Unfortunately, for Adrian Peterson, probably the biggest issue might be the relationship with the woman. Because a lot of athletes are in those kind of
monogamous like type.
Well, he's not he might have seven kids by six. Yeah.
Just like Ray Rice, they're with women who they probably met.
No, it's
in those circles where those women are always like on trying to hustle. Mm-hmm. They're like taking advantage where those chicks.
I'm gonna tell you my only problem with this whole Ray Rice thing. I know we don't like to stay current when we go our things, but my only thing is that I liked about the Ray Rice thing is a grand jury looked at this, dropped the case. It was dismissed. Now Ray Rice getting all this trouble after 6 months of time.
Did you see the fucking video, bro?
Of what? The grand jury already looked at the video of Adrian Peterson.
Nah, yeah, but there's something called the rest of fucking American public looking at the video, man.
It doesn't matter because the grand jury.
Yeah. No. But just double check. But who's fucking buying tickets, bro? Who's fucking watching football games? You see everyone bringing back the jerseys? You're bringing back the jerseys? Like,
My fault. I want to say something real quick.
I wanted to talk about you guys, but
I want to say one thing real quick. That is still an entertainment.
Right.
That we have to start thinking in America. You're looking at this guy's this job is only entertainment.
That's what it
you
is.
You cannot hold this finger on him because he beats his child. I'm beating my child. This guy beats
Wait. What's your argument?
Even if I went to Facebook and my wife put something on Facebook, say, "Hey, Darius whipped our child," this I'll get what 200 something like. But nobody's gonna come and take me away. Right. No one's gonna do anything. Guess what? But this guy says you think he makes millions on TV. Right. He's got Nike sponsor. Everybody's saying kill him.
Right. Well, yeah, because he's scapegoated. Of course, he's scapegoated.
Can we throw back to? Do you guys remember Michael Vick?
Yeah.
He got a second chance in the NFL.
Yeah.
And if you can drown, torture, and beat the fuck out of dogs, go to prison and come
back.
No, hold on.
But here's the thing, Matt. Here's the thing. Mike Vick went through. He had to go through his trials and tribulations.
That's
he had to say sorry. Ray Rice is going to get a second chance once you say he's sorry. But when you have your fucking girlfriend apologizing for her fucking acting to fucking getting her ass whooped, you can't say I'm sorry I got my ass whooped.
That's not your woman.
This is. I'm sorry. This dude is not sponsored by Them Nuts Podcast.
Somebody made a good. It's the most fucked up joke, but somebody made a really good point. That's why women in like the 50s and 60s had those thick jaws that were really attractive because they could take.
Okay,
dude.
Damn.
Jesus.
Who's that? Somebody? You made that joke.
Yeah. You'd have gave that to somebody else today.
I steal all my material.
This is pre-civil rights. Pre-civil rights, like.
Here's where I think it's crazy, though, is that like I like seeing people getting mad and getting progress on this shit because I just looked this shit up the other day. Do you know when women had the last date and the date for when women had the right to vote?
Suffrage.
Yeah, you know what the last date was? The last state who ratified the Fucking Amendment.
That was probably
and when it was?
Probably Mississippi.
It was Mississippi. You know when it was?
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
When? Like 2005.
Yeah, it's fucking 1983. That's why I was fucking bored.
It was.
MacGyver was on fucking TV and women couldn't vote. That's
correct.
What I'm saying. Like it's what the fuck? Like,
no. But the South did everything way differently.
No, but that's
than
what I'm saying.
Here.
That's why it's kind of people are like, dude, like we're seeing all this progress, but it wasn't that long ago.
This is 1983 when the shit happened. Like,
yeah.
How much progress have we had?
No, that's what I'm saying. It's cool.
You know what I mean?
Internet.
Cool. But it's like, it's a lot of... No, there's a lot of progress, but at the same time, I'm just saying, it's not a lot of...
No, he was like...
Point.
This guy doesn't even have a microphone. What's going on over here?
He just ran in. No. He just came in.
I'm just saying, it's cool, because it's like, it wasn't that long ago that this shit, you know, was like...
No, let me ask you this, though.
Now, that's Mississippi, though.
No, I know. I understand that.
But my question
but
is this.
That's, yeah, it's a special case.
Slavery wasn't eradicated in Mississippi.
Wait. Got too many voices.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't that long.
I got too many voices.
Slavery.
Hold on.
It's 1893, right?
No. 1993 was officially taken off the book.
Oh, it was 1993?
1993 was officially taken off the book in Mississippi.
Jeez.
Let me ask you a question.
So they're like, we'll keep this around just in case it comes
just
back.
Just in case.
That whole South of Rise Again shit was really too long.
Yeah, right?
Now, and how does this affect your comedy? Since that's what we brought you here for. I just want to go back to you.
It's funny because like the other night, you know, I always joke with Rico, like when he asked me to come out about, because the perception, the first time I went out, I'm like old world, Orange County
German restaurant.
I'm like, yeah. Okay, let me get all the knock knock jokes together because you know you can't. I'm like, I ain't gonna be able to go in and just say what's on my mind.
But yeah, then, there are some boundaries.
But then when Rico got up and he did the weed joke, I was like, oh shit, gloves are off. Yeah, like, but I do think there's still some stuff that's not being showcased. That's being said by comics because we're kind of in this presentation of PC mode.
Absolutely.
It's like,
well, we're all, we have to now.
Certain comics that are on TV, as far as what's considered cool happening, they'll promote, it's kind of shtick. You know, but stuff that's really being said by some people, it's not like it was when...
You're right. What's being said in the clubs and what you can see on TV.
Right. It's two different worlds right now. Okay. And we're not seeing where the popular with people and even with the media when it was Lenny Bruce and Dick Gregory and all those dudes. Because they were telling the truth in turbulent times. We got turbulence. We got all that plus some other stuff going on. But like Last Comic Standing, which we were just talking about. It's like they're looking for stuff. Oh, this dude has cliche words and he has a persona and we can like push that. And everybody, if you make it and you find your niche, it's all good. But the rest of us that are like coming from a perspective like, well, I'm trying to tell you the truth. They kind of give you like the half, like you're cool, but you know, I can't stand behind you if it gets a little dicey or we can't promote you. Because you're going to say something that's not, like, you know, fan-friendly.
Have you been told that you're too urban sometimes? Have you gotten that fucking word, the word urban, thrown at you? No, dude, I have a lot, I got a lot of buddies who are like, but like my buddy Roger Rod. He's like, I'm a fucking white comic. How am I too urban? And it, like they're, because they're telling the truth, they're from that area.
Yeah.
It, like, I'm just talking to, like, TV producers and people like that. Have you gotten that shit?
Well, Jamie Masada at the Laugh Factory, you know, he feels the need to sit down and tell you what kind of comedy
you should be doing. Everyone.
And it's the most racist shit, because I'm like...
Which is true.
It is. Always, no, yeah. Jamie tells you know, you're not cooning it up enough. Bass, I'm paraphrasing him.
I was just like, well...
That was not sponsored by Vim Nuts, Jamie.
But he's like, oh, there's got to be more black, and you got to say it like this. And I'm looking at him like...
Swing low.
Yeah, right?
Sweet
cherry. He's Persian, right?
Right.
Yeah, he's Persian. Yeah. Like, what the fuck you know?
So, why is he coming like, bro? Scorpion bro, King? Bro. Like,
right.
My friend, you need to be more black, man.
Yeah, no, he's
just. Mojeto!
That's exactly what he says, but I'm telling him, like, look, but there's different aspects to me as a person. I don't consider being profiled as all black because I've gotten to experience a little bit of different cultures. And so as a person that's trying to be out in the world, you're influenced by different stuff from different people. So I consider myself a human being first.
Yeah.
And then it just so happens you notice this when I walk in the room. But don't sit there and tell me that I got to play on this when I'm trying to give
them. And you know the sad part about it is we didn't even tell who we're speaking to.
Right.
Yeah,
we're having a whole conversation, and then like the whole thing.
For 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
That fucked
his
job.
Yeah, Dion. Tell him who we're talking to, man. Yeah. Yeah. You speaking knowledge, so I want Jamie to know who in the fuck he's gonna talk to when we're done. Matter of fact, so he don't think it's
this
he don't
Jamie
twist the black
on podcast.
He don't twist the black up. I don't want. I heard them nuts. There's a black guy speaking about me on there. Want to let him know which black guy it is.
Well,
we got the house tonight.
He knows because
he knows your voice now.
Well, he also knows my because I used to, you know, sneak in the club when I was, and try to get on stage, and I have to admit, like when I first started, I did some shit that probably would have got me sent back to Africa, like. No, seriously, but not because I was being so pro-black. Black people have been like, yo, just get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
You ain't representing. Because I thought that, like, okay, well, I have to appease somebody in order to get noticed. And then, you know, as you go on, you get to a point you don't really care about doing jokes. You just like, yo, I'm just telling you what's happening. Bam. But in the beginning, you do anything.
To get some attention.
Yeah. Pie in the face, whatever the shit is, you're like, so... You know, I did some stuff that, like, I didn't know I was playing into what his perception of how I should be, which is on that racist tip. And so I did it, and he automatically goes, hey, we're going to get you in the club. We're going to work you in, try to make you a paid regular. And I'm thinking, oh, shit, yeah. But then as time went on, because I would do this back and forth in between school and summer, I would come back and I hit the Laugh Factory. And then he's like, yeah, we're going to make you a regular, make you a regular, make you a regular. But as I kept changing and trying to grow, I started realizing more and more he was sitting me down and go, hey, you're not the same as you were. You need to do it like this and you need to do it like that. And I was confused because I'm like, wait a minute, I think I'm getting better, but you're telling me that I'm not delivering this right. And it wasn't until like recently that like Raul also had an incident with him not too long, like a few years ago, where Jamie doesn't come from a perspective of promoting people as people. His first thing is, it's my club, I get free entertainment or whatever the case may be in return. But also too, it's, you know, it's the stick thing. Like, I'm never gonna wear a dress. No knock on any comic that ever did it and got a TV show. But
you can say Tyler Perry. He's not.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Somebody put my dress away.
And but that's my choice because I'm kind of like, you know, everything is so categorized. I mean,
hold on. There's always a price though.
There is a price, but then
Warner Brother comes up to you like, yo, you got you a new
fucking Martin. We need a new Martin. We need a new Martin.
And that's the crazy thing because you see Martin without that aspect of him, and you're like, I'm surprised he would do that. But then at the same time, I'm like, look, if it's all about the money, then yeah, but at this point I ain't made no money really at it. Right. So in my mind, that's not even a perspective really. It's like gas money to me is like, oh shit, I made it. No, for real, that's where I am. It's like, so I don't expect at some point to have the house on the hill by doing this. So I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna give it up just to try to like guide myself.
You keep your artistic ethics and everything going on.
As soon as drink tickets are currency, I'll be a millionaire.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, it's just where I am, and that's actually kind of where I want to stay. But it's easier said than, like you said, when somebody goes, look, you know what? You don't have to, like, hustle it and, like, do the dirty work no more and dig ditches, you know, and build a stage and sell a popcorn. And you think about it, because there are people that I really want to, like, take care of. But at this point, like, sitting right here right now, if somebody came and said, hey, you know what? As of right now, it's like, no, I can't, because I don't see that other side. And I don't expect that other side. I mean, I actually don't expect anything that's glorious other than what I'm doing. I mean, that's for me, the glory is like, get on stage, bam, deliver it. Hopefully I entertain some people, fill them with a little information, make it a good evening, then I'm out. So that's really where I keep it. And I don't know, maybe it's a low expectation, but I feel that and I can relate to that. Something else is too esoteric for me.
I also wonder, when are we comics going to figure out that you don't really, Jamie Masada is not the boss.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
We're the ones with the talent. Yes. We're the ones, we could go do comedy anywhere. He just has a room. We have talent.
Yeah.
So I think that's like, eventually we could just go.
And he's one room out of how many rooms?
Exactly. In LA, there's it loads.
Well, there's four majors in LA.
Right. Well, no. Four majors, but there's everywhere. Anywhere you go down a block, you're going to find a comedy show.
And that's a good thing about the art right now is that, yeah, the coffee shops, we made a joke about it. Mm-hmm. But just the fact that now it doesn't have to be in a traditional place. And there's still not only opportunity to do your thing, there's other opportunities that come out of that. To do more than that, you know, even if it's like doing the breast cancer thing. Mm-hmm. I've gotten to do stuff for Make-A-Wish. And so indirectly, I've gotten a chance to help contribute to doing something for somebody else.
Well, wait, what's this breast cancer thing?
We just did a show. Yeah, we did a show last week.
For titties?
Yeah, titties, what? Was it LOL for tots or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. For tots or something?
LOL for tots?
Oh, tatas.
No, tits for tatas.
LOL for tatas.
Tots are
kicks.
For tatas.
No, tatas.
My fault. Titties are titties.
Yeah, LOL for tatas.
Yeah, LOL. My wife had a problem with the
titties.
Yeah. No, my wife had a problem. Tatas? What the hell is tata? We call my grandpa tata. I was like, oh, honey. In America, they call in tatas boobies.
Oh,
what?
Cheese? Is that what it
yeah,
is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She was like, that's not cheese.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, just because you're from Mexico, we're in America now, honey. You got to follow American rules, goddammit.
I told you, this whole mail order thing is not working.
You're
right.
I'm going to send her ass back, get a new one. Jesus. Matter of fact, somebody will send her back next Friday.
Oh, damn.
She's out of town, guys. So let's keep going.
Yes, not a word of it.
Oh, oh, she
not
does.
A word.
She don't understand it, but oh, she listens.
That's why. So you do the interpretation.
Yeah,
for
yeah,
her.
Yeah. Hey, honey, this is what we said. We love you. We love you a long time.
Talking about how beautiful
you are. Yeah. Yeah. No, but yeah, so we did that show for
Yeah, it was nice. It was it was cool, and that got to meet some cool people, and it's, you know, it's just at that place now where I realize that there's not a lot of separation in mindsets among people that are actually out and about with regular people every day. It's the people in those places where they don't really get in touch with people that work or deal with everyday stuff that have that weird idealism and just a different sense of how things should go. Unfortunately, they're the Congress people and all of
them. Yeah, that's the higher ups.
We had to vote out.
Well, right. Look at what happened. I mean, somebody was so out of touch with reality, he just got fired. Tommy just got fired out of the Comedy Store because he had no idea.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
you
got fired. That's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, that's so good. It's
yeah, because he was clueless. Yeah, I think I got reintroduced to Tommy about 37 times. No, every time I come in, I had people walk me in that were friends who were regulars. They go, Tommy, hey, this is my boy Dion. Like, you know, he's going to hang out if you could get him up. He's like, Dion. And the whole night, it was like he walked by and my boy would go, hey, you remember Dion? He goes, oh, yeah, have we met? And I'm like, dude, we just...
It's fucking memento.
Yeah, but every time I came in the place, I had to be reintroduced, and then a couple of people go, "Yo, let me tell you the deal with him." And I was like, "Oh, got it, cool." I was like, you know, I was looking at dude because for a minute, you know, I was like, okay, he has a southern thing going on, and maybe like he's from Florida, and he's friends with a good friend of ours, and Sally Mullins. He's really,
right.
So I thought, okay, maybe he's just. You know, it's Hollywood. Maybe he doesn't trust people, but man, they were like, "Yo, man, that dude is, you know, he's worse than Leo and you know Django." He was like, "No, for real, no." They were like,
"What's his name? David Duke?"
Close. But they were like, "Yo, when you talk to him, just know he just
straight up did blackface.
He don't see you.
Yeah, he blackfaced you already." So now, what got you started in this?
You know, not joining a gang, actually.
Can you get jumped into comedy? Or
I feel like I have. Jamie did a damn good job of like, yeah, it was. I went to all boys Catholic school. First, I went. So I grew up, you know, families from the South, moms from Texas, dad was from Texas, grandparents from Oklahoma and Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
So we had that whole southern. They all migrated. I think half the South just came to L.A. and lived in the projects in one block.
They all went to Watts.
Everybody, yeah. They
My
all
mom
went to
Watts in '63 or when they had the riot or whatever. They might see from Louisiana
everybody,
to Watts.
Everybody just migrated to Watts, and so. Yeah.
But Watts back in '63 was like
they had the gas and the energy. Yeah, and they had it was booming. It was coming up. It was coming up. And after my mom after that riot, she said, "Fuck it, I'm leaving." And she went to Louisiana because she had an aunt. Yeah. I mean, to Seattle where she had an aunt that lived up there and. Next thing you know, came me.
Watts has the that electrical structure thing, right?
Yeah, like
the reason I'm asking is my dumb ass. I'm from Chicago. I came out. I'm like, oh, I want to go check out L.A. Like, I hear this is a cool place to go check out, not knowing what
Watts
was.
Tower.
And I got
Watts
off the, I got the, off the train. And,
yeah.
And so
you like, made it though, right?
Oh yeah. Everybody was cool as shit with me. They're like, yeah, it's overhyped. They're not really.
No, it changed because then it wasn't even a race thing. It was just like people were angry because from the riots to whatever time, the same burnt out buildings were still like sitting around. Now, you know, you see like the flood in Jersey, like they have everybody in, they're cleaning it, you know, the president's landing. But for 20 years, you know, those burnt out houses, the burnt out stores were still graffiti. I mean... I used to walk over rubble going to school from the Watts riots, like, way back. And so people were pissed. People were pissed off, and they were angry. So what do you normally do if you don't have money and resources? Your collective becomes one of two things. Either you become a collective where you start to like make change through the system, or you go against the system and then you just, you know, you run in the streets and you do what the IRA did, and you know, you
yeah,
just,
and IRA.
Yeah, you just start. Yeah, you just, you I mean, because nobody's listening to you.
So you want to grab some attention from somewhere.
You're trying to get it from somewhere. So yeah. It was the gang thing was kind of perpetuated from the fact that, like, you know, there were people like going, hey, I got something I want to do, but ain't nobody giving me an opportunity. Ain't nobody talking to me. Ain't nobody listening to me. So, you know what? And then the government helped. I mean, let's be real about that.
Yeah, the crack cocaine they threw in your
head. Yeah, they, you know, yeah, I mean, really dropping off. You know, I live near the train tracks on Central Avenue and Anzac. And so there would be train cars sitting for weeks. I didn't know till about 7-8 years ago, watching this documentary about the war on drugs in America, that those tracks would be, guns were sitting in there. And I would watch them from my window, just sit. And didn't know that those guns were sitting there so that at some point they could be distributed in the neighborhood. I mean, yeah, no, it was... It,
the government, the CIA fucked America's black
neighborhoods up. It's crazy stuff that's going on.
Not the CIA. You're taking it in the wrong way.
No, actually, that...
Government. Oh, by the way, if you guys haven't watched enough YouTube conspiracy theories, just give him 3 hours. You'll fall asleep. That's good. Yeah. Puts his kids to sleep every night. Hey, did you hear about the Illuminati? Yeah, let me
tell you. He said the Illuminati who?
Yeah, but...
So, went from public school and moms... And like I said, all her aunts and all the kids in our neighborhood, their parents were like, and they worked hard. They were like, yo, we don't have the resources to send them to schools in the other neighborhoods. But just so happens that we had Locke High School, which was a good public school. You know, Verbum Dei High School, which I went to, is all boys Catholic school, like right in the middle of the Nickerson Garden Project.
You say what?
What? Verbum Dei High School is all boys Catholic school.
In between the what?
The Nickerson Garden Project. As a matter of fact,
I'm hearing it wrong too, but I'm gonna let it go.
There's a K in there.
I bet there's a lot of K's.
And that's where the Pyrus started. They started in the Nickerson Garden Project. Okay. And so...
See, Chicago, we had a green brain. There was nothing I could get wrong.
And you know that was no accident that Yes. I mean, so... I mean, who used to live in the Silvers? It was like...
Where did the Baj live?
They lived in Pasadena. But like, some of those kids would go to our school. They were in our school. We only had 300 people in the school. And so, all boys, Catholic school, and our sister schools like St. Mary's, St. Genevieve, whatever the case may be. We played sports against Sarah High School. Then you go against like Notre Dame, you go on their high school campus, and it looks like a university campus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bishop of Mount, all these places. And it's a little concrete. You could pass by it now. It's a little concrete, white, blue, you know, like school. And a lot of people, we had the number one basketball program for years. I mean, guys like back in the day, David Greenwood and Roy Hamilton and all those dudes who were like legends in early basketball, went to UCLA and all those places, came from our high school. So when I got in high school, it was like, okay, I'm playing sports, but I'm also, my dad was a musician, so there was, you know, music around. My mom had studied dance, so it was like, okay, I want to do something creative, so I started being a clown in class.
Wait, what instrument is your dad play? Or was he
a piano teacher?
He was a piano teacher.
Piano teacher and voice teacher.
Dang.
And so, you know, they separated early, but I would go stay with him sometimes. So, you know, the music was around.
So, can you sing? He has a day too.
I can hear my voice, and that's it.
He had like a white girl walking in and open her leg. I can't.
Oh, yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, no.
You know, I still know some Teddy Pendergrass songs. But, so it was just being in class, you know, it's like a bunch of dudes hanging out at school. We didn't have to worry about trying to be cool because there are chicks around. So everybody played pranks on everybody. It was kind of like Animal House. You know, we're trying to be like Animal House. So we're playing pranks on everybody. Playing pranks on the priest. playing pranks on the nuns. You know, like in biology, we would melt butter and hang them in the windows at lunchtime. And so when the sister came in, it looked like, you know, there was sperm in the... So that's...
It's like, look, Jesus is coming.
Yeah, right.
Lord, forgive me.
But so it was that kind of environment, and so it was just promoted that, like, you know, you joke in class. Like, we pass notes. At 1 o'clock, everybody drop your science book. And so we were doing silly stuff like that, and then it just kept going until, you know, that parent-teacher meeting where moms was like, yeah, I don't pay for this.
Yeah.
And she goes, if you keep on, she goes, you know what's going to happen. I mean, she wasn't talking about a switch. Then mom was just straight up.
Yeah.
She just straight up dropped the hammer.
I got these brass knuckles.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
She straight up dropped the hammer. But that's where it started. And then eventually, which we don't have a lot of anymore, like inner city cultural centers and all those places where you could go on the weekend and they'd have like a writing class. Or like somebody that you saw on TV that would come by and like speak to kids about, like, you know, anything, doing magic, like singing a song. And so then it was like, oh, how do I get into that? And then, you know, you just gradually, I started trying to figure out, okay, is there a place I can do this besides in class and staying after school? If there's an avenue to like turn it into something, and then just went from there.
Man, so now what are you doing now?
I'm
I heard you work at a boxing gym or something like that.
Well, you know what? That was the other thing to stay out of trouble. I got into boxing, Broadway boxing gym, where Kenny Norton came out of.
Okay.
Layman Brewster. I've been knocked out. I'm not supposed to say that in public, right?
No, I don't know.
No, I have been.
You're
I mean,
in Vegas
anytime soon. Yeah, right. No, it's a part of the process of actually earning your stripes and learning how.
Yeah, you chose two of the hardest fucking professions, man. You're like, I'm gonna get my ass whooped and do comedy. Mom was like, can you get a regular job? I didn't tell you.
We had that argument. We did. Before I left for school, I ended up going to Southern Illinois, and it was like, she's like, go to school and be a lawyer.
Yeah,
and I was thinking,
it's a good school for that shit.
It's a party school. There's no lawyers. Lawyers. If it's all coked out.
No,
of their
but
heads.
I'm thinking, boy, I can't relate. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I couldn't relate because it was like I always did what I liked to do. Mm. So that was kind of the mode. Like, I'm just do what I like to do. If it works out, great. If it doesn't, you know what? You know, I'll give me a nice little shanty and. No, I wasn't tripping on money. You know what I'm saying? It's never been about. Yeah. Money, because if it was, you guys know, like, if you're in comedy thinking you're gonna get the windfall right away, it's like, you
there's
know
a lot of guys that think that they're 3 years in, they're like, no, you can't do this,
right?
It's this and that.
Yeah, no, this is a grind.
Yeah,
it's a marathon.
And so that's why I went in like, hey, I like it, so I'm willing to deal with all the shit that goes with it. But
he totally pointed this podcast right.
I feel him.
But so that was the whole thing was like.
So you were doing comedy and boxing at the same time.
Yeah, but you know, the boxing was the start. It went from, because I was playing football and I was running track, and then but there was still too much downtime.
Holy shit!
You know, from spring to my mom was like,
see, "This is how we dealt with ADD back in those days." Shitload of activities.
Shitload of activities. It was just too much downtime. So my uncles, who had fought in the Navy, they boxed. I mean, they were in the Korean War, Vietnam, the whole thing. They were like, yo, take them to the boxing gym.
Yeah.
Right.
So I ended up going to the boxing gym. And the first day there, you know if you fit or not. And so I walked
in. Because they put you in the sparring right away.
Well, not only that, but it's just a feeling of like, if there's people that are like you, it's just like comedy. You know when you're in a place where you're cool with everybody. You know what I'm saying? And so
I better go then now.
Saying it for 4 months.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Just trying to get the courage, dog.
but I walked in the boxing gym and it was like, all right, I'm supposed to be here. Don't know if I'm gonna be any good at it, but it was like I'm here.
Don't you think it's kind of weird though? Because both of those things are like you're by yourself. Like you got help, but it's all about you.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what it taught me to do is to reach out to other people and not be afraid to. Because part of that thing when you step on stage, you have anxiety, But you can't have that fear where you're like, okay, I'm going to back down if something doesn't go right.
Yeah.
And so it kind of gave me that thing in my head, like, okay, it's a good possibility on any given night this ain't going to go right.
Yeah.
Just like in the ring, even on your best day, you're going to get hit in the face.
Yeah, you might get knocked out. Yeah. Yeah.
But you're I'm going to get hit in the face, but I can still win. So it just kind of gave me this tenacity thing where it's like, look, I'm going to do what I want to do on my terms regardless of whatever the other ifs, ands, or buts happen.
I think this should be a prereq for all comedians now. You have to start getting dexterous. take a couple punches in the face. Orange County comics would stop immediately.
It would thin the herd.
If I lived out here, shoot, I wouldn't have got punched in the face.
Yeah, but so now... Well, so where do you work now?
Okay, so there's this place called the Hollywood Boxing Gym, which is the day job. And I've been fortunate. I was, after my great boxing career was over. And I went to school, came back home, and it was like, okay, so what am I going to do? And so I went back by the gym, and old school coaches, guys that had fought Sugar Ray Robinson, like, son, come here, boy. Yeah. And so... they were like, here, help out in the gym, which I love. Then it went from, you went to school for a while. I was like, phys ed. They're like, oh, yeah, come in. We're going to hire you to do a conditioning. And the pay was nothing. But, again, it was just like, hey, man, I get a chance to work with some of the kids that, like, are coming through the neighborhood now. And then from there, I've just been, it's something I was supposed to do, like I said, because I've been hooked up and worked with people who in the business, like, have names and done
like
stuff.
Like who?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
There
you
go. There it is. Put it on there. Put it on the table, bro. Put it on the table.
You know, I got the corner and work for there's a gentleman, Terry Claiborne, who he has a boxing gym, and it's called Pound for Pound Boxing. Denzel Washington, the Wayans brothers.
I've heard of Denzel Washington?
Denzel.
Is he pretty?
Yeah, he's up and coming. He's up and coming.
He know a little bit. Yeah, he. Tyra Banks, Matt Damon. I mean, all those people at one point, I worked with them as an assistant.
Wait, are they doing this for acting roles or doing it again?
Both. Okay. I got a chance to go to Prague and work with Matt Damon.
Oh, nice. For the first one. Oh, dang.
For the first one. And so...
All right, cut the episode. We're done. Right there. Cut it. Yeah. That's the best part. Let's go.
You made Matt Damon look like a badass. Nobody else could do it. It was you.
No, Matt.
You're the man.
No, Matt is... He's good. I mean, he's a good athlete. He had it in him. It was just...
You have to bring it out.
You pronounce it wrong. It's called.
But I wasn't the
athlete.
Only one. I mean, we worked as a team, but like that's what I'm saying. I didn't look for that.
Yeah.
Because my thing was, oh, I got a job that I like doing, and then just so happened, hey, you work with so and so, and then work with so and so.
Is this how you met?
We actually met. At
AA he's got a name.
No, that was by the way, everybody's I almost called him Raw, but it's not Raw.
Rawland is what I was called.
No, Raw and I met at a
Raw. Yeah. Like Raw.
Yeah, we met at an AA meeting.
Oh,
not for
whoa,
us.
Whoa, okay, whoa.
Oh, I was
whoa.
Like, shit,
we just gave you wine.
There was a comedy show after an AA meeting.
What?
At Anaheim 202 or the
no,
one
in Santa Monica on Main Street. And
we've all done them.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there because everybody was whack.
I had a trip to that.
Everybody was weird. It was like
yeah, because they
weirdest.
Were sober.
Yeah. No, it was weird. It was just, and we kept sitting at the bar looking at each other like.
You wanted them to drink again.
Yeah. No, it was it was so surreal and just awkward. And it was like, what's going on? And we just kind of like, that was weird, huh? He's like, so we were the only two people kind of going like,
did you just see what that saw?
Did you guys make the joke like, I guess this is what comedy's like without a 2-drink minimum? You didn't even
like, I was actually scared at that point. I was like, wow, if this is how it's going to be, maybe.
But they're all roughneck, like the neck tattoos, like crazy.
Oh, it was.
But it was Santa Monica, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was. But see, that's the thing. You have people there that have money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they were functional. Because they were still pulling up in Benzes and everything, but they had, you know, at some point just like almost bottomed out with the alcohol.
Yeah.
And so they were sitting there and it was just a weird, like, but they were into it.
That takes skill.
But at the same time, we were just like, okay, this is not normal.
So then Rod dropped his credits and said, dog, let's get out of here.
No. We just kind of sat and talked, like, and then we were just kind of like,
I don't need
like,
this shit. I was in Cool Running.
Yeah. I was going to have you do that later. Feel the rhythm. Feel the... You're not leaving that without doing this.
Plus two.
I'm gonna Google search right now. I'm gonna find it.
There was a hot normal chick there, which we that's both right. kind of bombed.
Yeah, bombed
her, so
we were both, that was the only reason why they were there. Yeah. That's what they're trying to say. The whole point of that story was we were looking for ass.
Yeah, well, it at some point it was like, well, that's the alternative to dealing with. Yeah. And she was a jazz singer, right?
Right. That's why we stayed.
Yeah, we stayed because, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's always. Yeah,
we're trying to tag team. Yeah.
I don't know if we've asked this. How long have you been doing comedy now?
Woo! When you answer the question, well, woo! Yeah.
Well, before I got into stand-up, I was doing, other than doing the Jamie thing, sneaking in the club, mm-hmm. I minored in theater. It was phys ed and it was theater. So I got out and I started doing regional theater at the Ivar Theater, which is now closed. So, you know, you hopping on a bus and a van and you traveling cross country rehearsing in a church basement. And, like, that was a learning experience. It kind of, again, it was like, I ain't making no money, but it was like, this is what I want to do. I like mm-hmm. this. Building.
I love this guy. He's a hobo. Everything he does is not making
a
money.
Hobo?
Well, I mean.
We're called gypsies now. Let's,
let's call it what it is. Not bad.
I mean, you know, the money
is
just
homeless now?
Yeah. No, because he has a home.
But so I started regional theater, came back, and I was like, I started checking out comedy. I mean, I had, but started trying to, like, study it. And, you know, going through Dick Gregory, Moms Mabley, Lenny Bruce, George Carl, just getting inundated with all that information. I'm like, okay, I want to do that. Came back to L.A. and I was like, how do I get into it? Because Jamie wasn't, I realized that wasn't really going nowhere. Mm-hmm. So the USO, there was a USO in Long Beach. And I was like, oh, they had auditions. I saw in the L.A. Reporter. The Hollywood Reporter had auditions for comics to do live shows like the military bases. So I went and did this thing called an Unknown Homeboy, which is the worst comic stand up in the history.
Unknown
of
Homeboy through the USO.
I took a bag.
I'll Google search it
because
now.
Of the Unknown Comic. I took a bag and I cut holes in it and I took cotton balls and dyed them black and had the afro.
Shit.
No, I swear to God.
I didn't know that.
Put the red lips and the whole, the worst comedy act.
You did
history.
Blackface on Blackface?
No, it was a bag. I did. I brown bagged the blackface.
God damn.
And I went in.
Bag face. Damn.
That's why you're like, I'm never wearing a fucking dress.
Right?
He don't have to. He's already, fucking went.
Yeah, already yeah, been yeah. there. I already yeah. went.
I already did that for south. No money. Fuck it. I don't need money.
But went in, did the worst stick in history. And they go, we got a show, such and such and such. We'd like you to be on it. And I'm thinking, oh, shit, this is great. But then a friend of mine was like, yo, when you go to the military bases, you might not want to wear that bag.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, what am I going to do, man? I got like 3 jokes. Literally. It was like a 3-minute audition. That's all I had. And he goes, no, he goes, you know, just you'll figure it out. So the day we get on the bus, we're going off to 29 Palms. The chick, the director comes to me. She goes, hey, have you ever hosted a show before? And I lie. And I go, yeah. She goes, oh, great. She goes, because our host is not here and you need to host the show. Now there's like 75 performers. There's comedians, there's jugglers, there's dancing girls, there's all this stuff. And I'm supposed to like, and I never did it. Got there, the military guys were coming off of maneuvers for the last 90 days. It was 1,200 guys.
Jeez.
They've been out in the field for 90 days. It was 112 when we got to 29 Palms. They sat outside. Ooh. And they had water spraying on them, like through fans. And they're all sitting looking at the stage. We walk out, and I'm, like, addressing them. And you can see they're just, like, looking at me. And then we had dancing girls. We had, like, 8 girls. And some of the girls peaked. It was a makeshift stage from backstage. And you see them little skirts. And then I just saw 1,200 people start running towards a stage. Now, we're about 10 feet up because they had built stilts. So it starts rocking. Oh, shit. And everybody starts screaming. And I'm like, and so somebody's looking at me like, you got to do something. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do?
Whip your penis out. Whip your penis out.
Well, I started saying, like, I was like, if you sit down, you get a dancing date with the girls. Like, the we'll do a raffle and the whole thing. And I'm like talking and just babbling. The dudes sit down, the girls came out. So the rest of the show, like, we'd have the girls, instead of dancing on stage, they went out and they danced with them. And it turned out okay. But then from that point on, it was like I started hosting shows. And I had to write material literally on the fly. And then I got a letter because I started going over the line because I was making jokes about the government. No, seriously, Nate. And I got a letter. The lady handed me a letter and she goes, they love you, but you gotta, like, you can't, for morale. And the military guys themselves, they know, yeah, because they know what the deal is. Mm-hmm. I mean, because they're not there for the government at all. You know, it's their belief, their pride, their need, whatever the case may be. But she was like, and I got the letters. And but it was cool. It was, and so from that point on, I was like, okay, I still need to learn. Started studying with some people, Mark Linnell, who used to be one of the owners of the Improv, Sandy Shore, Mitzi Shore's daughter. Mm-hmm. Man, I've been all over the place. Studied at IO, Acme, LA Theater Connection. Did stuff at Strasburg, just trying to learn the director's stint, AFI, the whole thing.
Wow. So. The whole question was, how long have you been doing this?
So yeah. So add all those years. I was trying to give you a time frame so you could add, okay.
I appreciate it, but what was the number?
I know, U.S.
By the way, he was talking to the military. That was the first Bush was in office.
Oh, my bad.
You're right. doing about 13 years.
Wow, awesome, okay, man. It's good.
13 right. years between theater, doing sketch, improv, and stand-up.
How did you meet Raul?
Yes.
That was
no, the, no, 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 like, but how many years ago you guys been doing comedy for a while? Oh, or was that a recent AA show? Or
no, that was like just last week. What, 2000?
That was like 2000.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It was like 2000.
So when you first started. And,
wait, hold on. Yeah. So, no, well, how long have you been over in the States?
Oh, shoot. 20 something years? I came here when I was 9.
Oh, okay. You came here when okay. Yeah. When you're 9.
And you were doing comedy the same time, or?
At 9?
No.
I just came.
Make an ice cream parlor.
Yeah. I was knocking them down. Yeah, I was doing. I was like, what's the deal with vanilla? No, my parents came over here and I got into show business like at 12.
Dang.
It's kind of the same thing. I came here. I lived in New Jersey.
Okay.
It was like a rough neighborhood. It was like my mom was just trying to get me to be creative instead of like kill people, you know what I mean? So that's how I met Dion. Like, it was like back in 2000 we start, like, it's just when I decided to just do get back into the comedy thing.
So mm-hmm. Did Dion ever train you in boxing, or you're like jiu-jitsu bitch, or like what
he did a few times in, you know what I mean, but I feel like I'm not really good at it.
So I was just saying, wait, so good. Which actor could Raul kick his beat ass?
No, oh, bring up the A-list.
Oh. So even though he wasn't A-list. That good, he could have whooped
the
mess.
The whole A-list.
So they weren't that. Okay.
Travolta's going down. Well,
oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
When I say he's going down, I don't mean like he's going down. I mean,
it's
like,
not that I'm that good, it's just that they're that bad.
Denzel's pretty good. He would probably be like right below Raul on that.
Shit.
Denzel, okay. Matt's pretty good. Tyra's decent.
Tyra Banks?
Yeah, that forehead would knock a motherfucker out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn. So I have to wrap it up because, you know, we got another guest coming up in there. Can you tell us how to find you?
I'm on Facebook, Dion Williams. Also on Instagram, Dion Williams LA. No, actually, that's Twitter.
So, it's Trainer.
Yeah, Dion, at Dion Williams the Trainer, or Dion the Trainer. Twitter, Dion Williams LA. I will be in the Ventura Comedy Festival.
Oh, okay. Nice. When are the dates on
this? This Wednesday, I'm doing it in the semifinals of the Ventura Comedy Competition.
So you have to tell us how that go and send us that because we won't be dropping with our engineer.
But right early October.
Oh yeah, and then September
25th.
the September 25th, I'm doing Black Friday, which is a show at the Ventura Comedy mm-hmm. Club. And I'm also doing the 8:05 show, which is an 11 p.m. show that night. And then October 12th, I'm back out in the OC actually doing a fundraiser event that I was asked to do by the kids. Is that his father that did the sound, the DJ?
Oh, Ralph.
Yeah, so Ralph. I'm doing...
That's a Sunday, October 12th out here yes. in OC, guys.
Yeah. No, are you doing...
Yeah, it's a
no,
Sunday.
I'm not on it.
It's a Sunday cool. in L.A., too, for you guys. There's not in yeah. OC.
Okay.
For
okay.
It's Sunday.
I don't
it's
know how the
Sunday
calendars
everywhere.
Work. It's a
October 12th. Yeah, October 12th is a Sunday, people.
Yeah. So, and you can find me there, and then... You know, always, I know the post office don't do that anymore. But,
no,
just check your police handles. I'm sure something will come up. And then a couple other projects, hopefully after the new year.
To follow you on your social media, basically.
Yeah, and I'll post the shows and anything where I'm doing something public and even some private stuff. That's
nice.
Another story. Nice. But but thank you guys for having
Thanks,
me. Man.
Yeah, man, Ron,
bro, anything you
want to
throw
you?
Up? Yeah, yeah, any, plug yourself on Twitter.
It's all about Dion, man.
Come on, man.
No, he'll be at also, he'll be at the Ventura Comedy Club on the 25th.
Yeah, you got the battle?
You can just find me at Rawl TV, RAWLE.TV, or everything's Rawl TV, Twitter, Facebook. Rawl TV.
Cool.
Damn.
And I'll also be performing with Dion at the Ventura.
Wait, you guys battling or what's going
no,
on?
No. It's a regular show. Like Black Friday. Okay. They're gonna put us all in the room and cut out the lights. So,
gotta figure out who you watch right now.
Hold on, I gotta know.
Man, thank you guys.
Comedy.
Thank you guys.
Yeah, fire up the OC. Yeah,
OC, roll.
OC.
All right, mate, we're going to bring it out. This is Them Nuts. You can find us on all your social media under Them Nuts with a Z. Holla.
Thank you for listening to Them Nuts Podcast. Hope you enjoyed the show. Stay tuned for new episodes and other Them Nuts productions. Be sure to like and follow us on all the social media networks and Podomatic.com because we have got more to come.